Okay, what was the creative process behind Lessons Learned? How'd you just jump into that project?
Well, actually, it was a little longer creative process. I had not done a project in a while, and I had been into production and doing a lot of other things that I felt like that needed my attention. So I had not done an audio project in a while. And so Sam Passamano and myself with Rural Rhythm Records had been talking about it for several years, and then it came time and said, well, either we're going to do this or we're not. And I said, well, I want to do it. And he said, great, let's then do it. And I said, well, wait a minute, I don't have anything to record. I don't have any songs. So I actually started writing songs and wrote the whole project within about 6 to 8 months.
How do you think it was different from some of the other projects that you've done over the years? Because you've done a lot of work, so what do you think was special about this one?
Well, this one, actually, it wasn't a theme to start with. That's what's different about it. It was actually my feelings and things that I had learned down through the years in writing songs and what I felt like I wanted to say. And so Lessons Learned came along, and it, you know, you write about your life, you write about your love, and you write about religion, and if you can put them all in one song, then you pretty well got an overview that people can relate to. So that was what, that being said, after I started writing this stuff and sort of figured out which way I wanted to go with it and what I wanted to talk about, sort of fell into place after that. One fell out after another, and finally when I got the whole project done, I told Sam I was ready to go into studio.
Excellent. I enjoyed the entire album, listening to it, you know, from beginning to end, but I Think of You just really stood out to me. It was just a really warm, heartfelt song. Can you just tell us about the process, how that was written, what inspired it? Is there a story behind it?
Well, actually, yeah, sure there is. I actually wrote the song up in Ocean City, Maryland, and my wife and I have a condo up there on the beach, and so I was sitting there one day writing some stuff, and this thing started falling out, and I started writing it down, and actually, of course, my wife is the inspiration for this. And so when I got to the chorus and started writing the progression of the tune and the words that came out, I said, oh, my goodness, this could be a very special song. And so, yes, it is a special song to me also, Patrick.
Okay. Why do you think bluegrass is still so entrenched in American culture? I mean, your show gets great ratings, you know, almost 1.5 million people per month still listen to it. It's still a very popular genre. Why do you think it's transcended for so long?
Well, I think, you know, really the traditional side of American music, the five-string banjo is the only instrument that was ever invented in America. And it came from the four strings. And when the Americans added the fifth string, then it brought on and started the three-finger roll. It brought on a whole new genre of music and a whole different take on mountain music, a whole different take on country music and traditional music. It's just something that the young kids can relate to because they go back and they search it out of the history. And it's so deep in the history of music. And of course, you know, music it relates to everybody. It's an international language, but it can also drive you crazy if you're trying to master the art. You can only get so far, and then it just, someone else has to take over and take it a little further. So I think that being said, an American music style of bluegrass or traditional or even traditional country as we speak today, is an everlasting thing. I know both of my sons play guitar and mandolin and piano, and I didn't do anything. They just picked it up in college and went with it.
Americana music is really big over the last like 2 or 3 years, and I don't know, for me it's like I listen to a lot of that stuff, like Mumford and Sons and a lot of those guys, and they sound a ton like traditional bluegrass. How do you feel about that, like how bluegrass can still, you know, inspire like new generations of music?
Well, everybody has their take on how they want to express themselves in music, and you know that when I was young, I wanted to take what I had heard and put my spin on it. And so I just say yay to Mumford and Sons and to all these. I call them little jam bands is what I call them. And they go in and they put their own feel to it, and it may go on for 5 to 7 or 10 minutes. unlike us, a 3-minute song is the way that I was raised. But I mean, man, it just tickles me to death that to see the old Cold Medicine Show and Yonder Mountain String Band and things like and bands like them, you know, Traveling McCurry's. They just take and put a spin on it, and I enjoy it. I truly enjoy it and encourage it.
So you've played with a lot of great musicians over the years, you know, Conway Twitty and Merle Haggard. Is there someone that you'd love to play with that people wouldn't expect?
You know what? There is so many wonderful musicians out there. I was sort of schooled, as you said, with Conway Twitty and with Merle Haggard and a lot of the earlier days in country. And it is just amazing the different styles and the different ways that you approach it. From the Western swing side, I was schooled that way with Haggard. I was schooled in the bluegrass side with my dad, Don Reno. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, schooled in the real progressive countryside with Nashville, Tennessee in itself. Well, you know, we used to go and jam all the time. And then, of course, my influences also go even to the Beatles. I love to play Yesterday on the mandolin and things like that. So, you know, it's just hard to pick one person when there's been so many influences. I guess Thatcher Clemens was a big influence on me, and a fiddle player that actually played everything backwards, and everybody said, "Oh my Lord, that's how it sounds backwards." So, you know, we used to get together and jam and play a lot, and he was a wonderful inspiration to me.
You've put out a lot of music over the last 60 years. My question for you is, with this album, what's the legacy that you want for this album? How do you want this album to be remembered when compared to your other music?
I'd say the way I want this album what I wanted to remember about Ronnie Reno is the fact that I crossed the T's and dotted the I's and took the four quarters to make a dollar. Not only is this record, you know, the sound and the mix on the project, the mastering of it, the writing of it, the musicianship of it, just sort of as a well-rounded musician, is what I want people to remember from me, and a historian also. I love the history of the music and want to basically hold it dear to Americans and everybody around the world, for sure.
Okay, I'm going to give you a hypothetical question here. Let's just say you're in a music shop and you kind of see somebody with lessons learned in their hand, and then they put it back, and then they pick it up. And then they put it back. You know, that situation where it's like you want to buy it, but you don't know, and you're kind of fighting yourself, and you could kind of get in their ear, and you could give them that little push in the right direction. What do you think you'd say to them to pick up the album? Like, why is this album special?
I think what comes to mind as you were asking me the question is Reno's Mando Magic is like, okay, let me steer them into a art form that basically is on this this CD. That would relate to anybody. It's you know, in the twin mandolins, and of course, mandolins are pleasing to the ear along with guitars. And I would just say, maybe I'll listen to it one time, find your listening post, and sort of plug it in, and hopefully you might take it home.
Okay. How do you plan to promote the album? Like, what are you doing to get it out there? Like, what do the next couple of months look like for you?
Well, actually, we've been promoting it on all aspects of it. I just did the John Boy and Billy's show this morning, which is a different audience. We have been marketing Lessons Learned to basically everyone. We've got coming up, we have Music City Roots coming up that we're going to be taping this month or the month of August. We've got a bunch more interviews that we're doing. We've had tremendous amounts of press on Lessons Learned. I got a wonderful write-up in the Washington Post. Billboard has given me two write-ups. The Tennessean here in Nashville has gave me a whole page.
Nice.
Which was wonderful. And just down through the years, the friends that I have made seem to be rallying for me and really putting the word out about Lessons Learned. And so, you know, that's I think is what is making the difference in this project.